Good morning, church. It is good to be here. I know some of you are a little freaked out. You had to sit in a different chair today, all right? And I'm sorry, but get over it, all right? No, it is good. It's good to be together, and I like this new setup here for this morning. It's very good. Well, we're going to continue today in our Christmas series. It's called The Best Gifts. And if you've been with us over the last couple of Sundays, you'll remember that each week this December, we're exploring passages from the Gospel of John about the best gifts. Now, it's interesting, the Christmas story as we know it actually doesn't appear in John's Gospel, and yet there are several passages that point us back to Jesus' birth, passages that tell us about the best gifts that we have, all because of Jesus, because he came into the world in what obviously we now celebrate as Christmas. So 2 weeks ago, we learned about, if you remember, the gift of truth. Jesus said that in this world riddled with messed up, false notions and wrong ideas about both God and man, Jesus said he was born to bear witness to the truth. Like the truth that the one true God chose to wrap himself in human flesh and come and be one of us, among us. Of course, that is what we celebrate that happened at Christmas. And Jesus came to reveal the truth that he did that because sinners like you and me, we need a Savior. Jesus bore witness to the truth that he indeed is the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the one who took our place, who died for our sins, and then rose again by his own power. Jesus revealed the truth that we can be saved from sin only through him. He was born to bear witness to the truth. Last week, then, we talked about the gift of purpose. Now, Jesus said in John 17 that just as the Father sent me into the world, I'm sending you into the world with the same purpose as that which Jesus had, that is to glorify God in all that we do. For this morning, our attention turns to John chapter number 10. We're going to find a third precious gift that we have because of Jesus. It's the gift of life. Again, that's John chapter number 10. If you would please turn there in your Bible or on your digital device, however you get there, John chapter number 10. But just before we dig into that text, I do want to take a quick stroll with you down memory lane. So before this season, ahead of this season, I asked the staff here at First Hurst to share with me some of their stories of the best gifts that they've ever received. And we obviously don't have time to share all of those, but for today, I do want to tell the story of one of our staff members. This comes from Miss Brandy Johnson. Brandy leads our kids ministry down at the Trails campus and just does a fantastic job there. Well, Brandy recalls the best gift that she ever received. It was from a special Christmas memory all the way back in the late 1970s. I know, some of you are like, I don't even remember the 70s. What are you talking about? Well, Brandy writes this. She said, one of my sweetest memories was the year that I wanted a real or lifelike baby. And I like that. She's like 7 years old and a real baby was on the table for her. Like that was a consideration. I want either a real or lifelike baby. She said, I knew my parents had no interest in the mess or fuss of a baby, and even the commercials we saw on TV for, here it is, Baby Alive. Oh, some of you remember that. She said, even those commercials seemed to disgust them. And to the 7-year-old girl, she's like, what could be disgusting about a baby that you can feed it the food and it even uses real diapers? She said, I was obsessed yet smart about it. And if you know Brandy, that sounds like her, right? She said, I asked for this doll from everyone except my parents. They were already making excuses for why roller skates are dangerous, you know. So I knew they wouldn't be okay with me having this almost yet not quite living baby. But Brandy remembers on Christmas morning, she slipped out from under the covers, snuck quietly into the living room, and there she found it, the most beautiful baby powder and plastic-scented rubber baby doll with her own diapers, powdered food, bottle, and baby toys. I'm going to tell you, that is the most excitement I can generate about a baby doll personally, all right? But Brandy said, I quickly scooped her up and snuck her back to my bed where she waited for everyone else to wake up and join her on what became a very special Christmas morning. And as you can see from that picture, Along with the doll, Brandy also got some great tips on a cool 1970s haircut, right? Brandy wrote this story several weeks ago to share that with me. But just recently, I sat down with her and said, Brandy, okay, you got to tell me a little more about this. Let's fill in some of the blanks. And her eyes just lit up thinking about it. She said, it was like she was alive. I mean, she was made out of that unique plastic that's probably outlawed now, you know, that felt so lifelike. And you mix the baby food and you could feed it to the baby. And like, I looked this up on YouTube because that's what you do. And found it. And this is how this thing worked. Like, you pushed on the chin of this baby doll and it engaged this motor. And the baby went, nom, 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 nom. Right. And so then you fed it this powdered food reconstituted with water. And then the lifelike phenomenon continued because all of that food that she had eaten, you got to experience it again when you went to change the diaper. All right? Like somehow that was the selling point for this doll, okay? That's not even a selling point for a real baby, right? I mean, don't we sit down and talk like, should we have kids? I don't know. It's a lot of diapers. Should we really? You know what I mean? I know it's hard for you to believe, because I look so much older than her, but Brandy and I are actually very close to the same age. And I can assure you that on that same Christmas morning, I was not given any thought or consideration to changing some baby's diapers. Well, as great as Baby Alive was for a little girl 40-something years ago, I'm gonna tell you, even that excited young Brandy, she knew that her baby doll wasn't really alive. She described it as almost, yet not quite, living. But I'm going to tell you, when we talk about the gift of life that Jesus gives, we're not talking about some cheap plastic battery-operated simulation. Jesus is not blowing smoke about the life that he offers. As we'll see in John chapter 10, Jesus came to give us life that is authentic, it is real, it is genuine. In fact, he came to give us abundant, eternal life. Now remember, just before we look at the text, I told you a couple weeks ago, context is super important, especially when we're looking at just one verse of Scripture. And so let me share with you the context here in the 10th chapter of John. Jesus is teaching about his role as the good shepherd. And he extends this analogy to include us, his followers, as his sheep. Now, that sounds really sweet until you consider that sheep really are not intelligent animals at all right? They're really just kind of dumb. And I'll let you draw your own conclusions regarding what that says about us as his sheep. But Jesus here contrasts himself as the good shepherd against the thieves and robbers who commonly in that time would break in and instead of caring for the sheep, they would steal and kill the sheep. And so Jesus says, just one verse, John 10:10 reads this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Again, talking about the sheep. Jesus said, "I came," and there's our Christmas connection, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Here again, in the midst of Jesus' teaching ministry, this is literally decades removed from that holy night in Bethlehem. But Jesus refers back to and even sheds light on his divine incarnation, what we celebrate here at Christmas time, when the Holy God became man, when he came to give us the gift of life. Now, there are three things that we'll consider under this title, the gift of life. And the first is this, that Jesus has eternal life. Jesus has eternal life. In fact, John chapter 1, verse 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." You see, unlike Brandy's battery-operated baby alive doll back in the 70s, almost yet not quite living, it was just a toy that actually had no life in it at all. Unlike that doll, in Jesus not only is there life, but it is eternal life. We touched on this a couple weeks ago, that Jesus didn't begin life in the Christmas story. Now, I certainly believe that life begins at conception, but Jesus' life did not. He did not come into being when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. But as we highlighted a couple weeks ago, he has forever, eternally been the Almighty God. In fact, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, page one in your Bible, it was Jesus, God the Son, who was the very agent of creation itself. John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, the one in whom is life itself, is also the one who created all that is. Paul expounded on this in Colossians chapter number 1, where he said, "For by him," and the Greek construction there means, "For by means of him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities." He was referring to even the spiritual created beings. He said, "All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Jesus is before all things because he's the one who created all things, and he can do that because he has eternal life. Well, this eternally living Jesus, God Almighty, the source of life, the one who has eternal life, he came to earth. He didn't start life here, but he certainly continued life here. In fact, as we look over to Philippians chapter number 2, it sheds light on this. It says, "For though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." That is, in the form of God, Jesus is equal with God the Father. They are one, because he eternally exists as the Almighty. And so it goes on in verse number 7 then to say, "But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." And so as God, Jesus willingly chose to humble himself. He willingly chose to take the form of the servant. He willingly chose to be born as a man. And then verse number 8 tells us then that, "And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So he lived a life of humility up to and including death on the cross for our sins. And right about this time, you may be wondering, okay, well, riddle me this, Batman. Like, if he has eternal life, how could he die? Like, doesn't that contradict the very definition of eternal life? That's an excellent question. But you see, Jesus' eternal life didn't end when he died a human death. Just as his incarnation was miraculously supernatural, so his life beyond the cross is likewise miraculously supernatural. You see, he has eternal life, and so even death could not hold him. Rather, he supernaturally rose from the dead in resurrection, victory, and power. And so when you get over to Revelation chapter number 1, Jesus almost kind of nonchalantly says there, "I died, and behold, I live forevermore." Like, that's just what you should expect because his life is supernatural and it is eternal. Hebrews chapter number 7, the writer of Hebrews said, "He continues," or lives, "forever." He went on to say, "He always lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God through him." Back to Revelation chapter number 11, we read that Jesus, he shall reign forever and ever, and he will because he lives forever and ever. Jesus has eternal life. But not only that, secondly this morning, notice Jesus gives eternal life. He gives eternal life. Because he has eternal life, he can give eternal life. You can't give what you don't have. Agreed? All right? You cannot give what you don't have. But as we've already established, Jesus has eternal life, and he can give eternal life. And by his marvelous grace and mercy, he has chosen to do just that, to give eternal life to all those who trust in him by faith. And it really shouldn't surprise us. Jesus has always been the giver of life. It's his sole prerogative as the sovereign creator to give life to his creatures. And so this temporal, physical life that we have, we are alive, but it's only because the Almighty God has chosen to give us life and to sustain our lives. I hope you understand we do not exist independently of him. But as Acts 17 says, "In him we live and move and have our being." Job 12:10 puts it this way, "In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." He is the giver of life. But this life-giving God doesn't stop there. He's also the giver of eternal life. And now let me be clear. When we speak about eternal life, what we're talking about is the fact that we will continue beyond this fleshly, physical life here on earth. For as Scripture tells us, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Like there's something after our physical death. Kind of the big picture would be this. Jesus gave life to humanity all the way back in the Garden of Eden, but man sinned against the Creator and broke the fellowship that we were intended to have with God. And so death was introduced into the human experience as the just consequence of sin. Scripture tells us then that death passed upon all people because all of us have likewise sinned against God. And that death that has passed upon us, it speaks not only of physical death, but also of spiritual death. Like we are separated from God. And that spiritual death will continue eternally in eternal death, eternal separation from God after this life on earth. And so Jesus came to reconcile us back to God, to give us that eternal life. He came to live a pure, holy, sinless life. He came to suffer under the weight of our sin as our substitute. Jesus came to lay down his precious life as a righteous sacrifice on our behalf. He came to make a way by his death so that we could pass from death to life. See, Jesus came to give us eternal life so that we can know for certain that after this temporal life on earth, we can live eternally as God intended, in sweet fellowship with him. And by his marvelous grace, he offers us this eternal life as a gift if we'll but receive it. John chapter 6, Jesus said, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." He gives eternal life to those who believe in him as the Savior. Now back to John chapter number 10. We looked at verse 10 earlier where Jesus was using this analogy. He's the good shepherd and we're the sheep. He continues that deeper into the chapter. And when we get over to verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand." I give them eternal life. This is the gift of life that Jesus came to give. Through his substitutionary death on the cross, he made a way for us sinners to be forgiven and resurrected with him to eternal life in Christ. Now, as you think about that gift, I don't know how you prefer to open gifts, all right? But I can tell you about the right way to do it, all right? Because it's my way, all right? No, it's probably not the right way. But anyway, I'm the guy who frustrates his family on Christmas morning because I am slow. I mean slow. I take my time opening those gifts. Like, have you seen that gif of the sloth from that movie? Like, he's going to stamp a piece of paper and like, will it ever happen? That's me opening a gift on Christmas morning, okay? I am methodical about it. Painstakingly, I find where the paper is taped down and I slide my finger up under there and I do my best to remove that tape without ever tearing the paper, all right? Like, can I peel it back gently enough, slowly enough that the paper remains intact? That's the goal. Each time, unwrap that gift and have a whole undamaged piece of wrapping paper at the end. All right? And I know you guys are like, why did we hire this guy to preach to us? Did we do a full background check on this guy? Like, I mean, no, I'm not quite crazy. All right? That's just the way that I like to do it. All right? And I'm going to answer your question for you. No, I do not try to reuse the paper. All right? That's not the goal. I know you were wondering. I just want to take my time. I want to enjoy the anticipation. I want to savor that moment and hopefully achieve my own little personal obsessive goal of untorn wrapping paper. And then, with the satisfaction of having done that, I wad it up and stuff it down in the trash bag, just like all the other paper, all right? I know. That doesn't make sense. That's just how I like to do it. I might be the only one in the room like that, all right? And if I'm not, please don't confess to it today, all right? Here's the thing. You might be the typical reckless, abandoned, paper flying in all directions, maniacal gift unwrapper, and I'm not going to judge you for that, all right? But you don't judge me either, all right? Is that fair? Is that fair? It's probably not fair because that does sound crazy when I say it out loud. Okay, here's the thing. In John chapter 10, as we're finding throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus is looking back to his entrance into the world and kind of like me, slowly, methodically unwrapping that gift. Jesus is carefully peeling back another layer to reveal the purpose behind his incarnation. He's unwrapped the gift of truth. He's unwrapped the gift of purpose. Now he's unwrapping this gift of life. 1 John 5:11 says, "This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." The gift of eternal life is in Jesus alone. He has eternal life, and he alone gives eternal life because, as we see finally this morning, he is eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. In fact, in the next chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 11, we read about a family who was going through the pain and the harsh trials of death in their family, like several of our families within the congregation of First Hurst have experienced recently. In John chapter 11, we find Mary, Martha, Lazarus, three siblings who were close personal friends of Jesus here on earth. Well, Lazarus grew sick. And of course, it was a time of limited medical technology and advancements. And so this sickness turned into what we would consider an untimely early death. Now, word had reached Jesus that Lazarus was sick, but Jesus very intentionally decided, "I'm not going until after Lazarus dies." And after that happened, he did. He traveled to Bethany to be there with the family. And once he arrived, both of Lazarus's sisters independently came to Jesus, and they both said the same thing. "Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus calmly reminded them that he is the giver of life. And he added an extra detail. In John 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus is speaking to Martha, and he said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." In other words, though we die a physical death here on earth, yet we can live eternally beyond the grave. And Jesus went on and said, "And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." He was speaking there about spiritually we'll never die. We've passed from death to life by believing in him as Savior. And then he concluded with Martha with this question. He said, "Do you believe this?" That extra detail that Jesus added is that he is himself eternal life. "I am the resurrection and the life," he said. He was bringing Martha to understand that real life is beyond this temporary time that we endure in this earthly shell of a body here on earth. He was showing us that by faith in Jesus as the one and only Savior, he gives us eternal life because he is, in fact, life itself. If you believe in him as Savior, though you will one day die, yet you shall live eternally in beautiful, perfect fellowship with him. And so as Jesus asked Martha, I'm going to ask you plainly today, do you believe this? This message of the gospel, this message of eternal life that Jesus alone gives, by faith in him that we can be saved from sin and have eternal life, do you believe this? See, for a very young Brandy Johnson, the wonder and joy of baby alive, oh, it was a marvelous thrill that Christmas morning long ago. But in time, even that enraptured little girl came to sense and understand that there was an emptiness behind the plastic and the batteries and the powdered food. That baby doll was never really alive. What about you? Is there an emptiness that plagues your life? And maybe you can't quite put your finger on it, but you just sense, you know, something is missing. There's a void that you just can't fill, although you have certainly tried. You see, if you don't have the eternal life that Jesus offers to those who trust him as Savior, then friend, you're going to find that you're really kind of like Brandy's baby doll. Almost, yet not quite living. In fact, you may feel kind of like that little girl that eventually longed for real life. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is the giver of life. He's the only giver of life. And the life he gives is abundant, eternal life. We would love to show you and talk you through how you can have this eternal life even today. 1 John chapter 5, we read verse 11 a moment ago. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. But let me now read verse 12. It says, whoever has the Son, that's Jesus, whoever has the Son has life. But whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Friend, very plainly this morning, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you do not have eternal life. You're almost yet not quite living. John is saying that if you haven't trusted Jesus, you don't have eternal life after this life on earth is done. And without Jesus as your Savior, you will one day pass from this earthly life. You'll do so yet in your sin, and you'll pass to an eternal death in a place the Bible describes as hell. There you'd be forever separated from God, forever aware of that hopeless and needless separation. That is the eternal death. I pray you'll understand today this gift of life that Jesus offers. It truly is among the best gifts. And I pray you'll take a step this morning to visit with one of our ministers or prayer partners. And man, we'd just love to start the conversation with you about what it means to trust Jesus as Savior, how you can be forgiven of sin, how you can have this gift of eternal life. Would you bow with me this morning? In a moment, I'm going to pray, and our musicians will come back up, and we're going to sing another song, and we're going to have an opportunity for you to respond to the gospel today. I'm going to be near the cross. Pastor Mark will be on the other side of the room, and some other ministers and prayer partners will be scattered around, and I want you to know that it would just be our privilege this morning to visit with you and just start that conversation about what it means to be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. For now, I'm going to ask you, with heads bowed, would you just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few moments before I pray? And I just want to ask you this question. No one else is looking. It's just me. If you can't say for certain you know that your eternal home is in heaven, if you don't know that Jesus is your Savior, would you just look up at me? No one else is looking, but would you just make eye contact with me? I want to know that who I can be praying for. Not going to embarrass you, not going to call you out. Thank you. Let me ask you now, wouldn't it be worth stepping out from your seat and talking with someone about that today? To know that your eternal home is in heaven, to know that you can have eternal life? That's worth a conversation today, and I want to invite you to come. Even as I pray and as we sing in a moment, come visit with one of our ministers or prayer partners. Father, thank you this morning for the gospel that saves us and sustains us and gives us life. Thank you that because of the gospel, because you died in our place, we can have not just life, but eternal life in Christ. God, I thank you for making a way for us to be reconciled to you. And I thank you that so many in this room today would say, yes, I have trusted Jesus. They've opened and unwrapped that gift of eternal life. They're celebrating and enjoying the life that you've given them, even today, and looking forward to the hope that we have beyond this life. But Father, for that one who couldn't honestly say, I know I'm saved, may today be the day that they say, you know what, it is worth a conversation. May they step out and with courage and with faith, with desperation even, and just say, help me understand this gospel story and how I can have eternal life. Spirit of God, we invite you to do a mighty work among us this morning. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.